Good morning. Glad you could join us. You probably know that the New Testament is written in Greek, and you probably know that I'm part Greek. I'm 25% Greek. You may know that my last name was changed by my grandfather when he came here from the Greek island of Naxos. He shortened Glimakopoulos to Glyman. It's a whole lot easier. Yeah. And I know a little Greek. He lives down the cul-de-sac from us. He's 5'2". Just kidding. But seriously, I did learn some Greek the summer of 1976 when I worked at my dad's bread factory. I say that because I've always just called it the bakery, but that when people go, they're like, it's more like a bread factory. It's not a corner bakery. But regardless, I worked with a bunch of Greek guys, and they'd yell across the packaging area something, and I'd be, oh, what does that mean? I want to learn some Greek. And they would tell me, it's like, oh, I should never repeat that around anybody who understands Greek. But I know a little biblical Greek as well. And one of my favorite words is paraclete, because it's a very simple word. It's just three syllables. But if you have seven different versions of the Bible, it will put seven different words in there because it's such a rich, full term. And they all refer to the Holy Spirit. The Amplified Bible, which we will use today, includes all seven of those words. We're going to look at this and a whole lot more in just a moment. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would empower me by your Holy Spirit today. And I pray that you would touch each person that's listening, that they would receive from your Holy Spirit who is present. Lord, I pray that this would be to your glory and to your people's benefit. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Goodness is running after, it's running after me with my life.
I said last week that we live in the age of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is not here, but his Spirit is here. The Apostle John, who I am just fascinated with, I'm fascinated with all the gospel writers. I'm fascinated with many New Testament characters, and I look forward to talking with them someday. But John lived in the days of Jesus and the days of the Holy Spirit. Why do I say that? Well, because he got to walk and talk with Jesus for 3 years. He was close with Jesus, had meals with him, saw him walk on water, saw him die, saw him risen from the dead and watched him ascend to heaven, and went fishing with him and all sorts of other things. But then he lived a long time, longer than any of the other 12, to experience the age of the Holy Spirit. And his gospel, which he took a long time to write, but when he finally did, he has many remembrances about the Holy Spirit. He tells us more about the Holy Spirit, I think, than anybody else. Let's talk about memory and fatigue. And so I came across something in Max's book here that, well, I thought was kind of interesting, and I identified with it. Do you ever like almost mess up? So today I was pouring some diet squirt in a mug, and I had a bowl of food there, and I almost poured the diet squirt in the bowl with the food. And it's like, don't do that. You don't want to do that. Here are some of Max's. He said, I thanked the elevator as I was walking out. How about you? When Alexa gets a response correctly, do you want to thank her? I do, because if I ask anyone a question and they give me information, I just naturally say thank you. I know she's not a person, but Max also said, I blew on my ice cream to cool it off. I don't think you really need to do that. He said, I entered my phone password on the microwave instead of the time duration to heat up the pizza. Probably, well, it depends what your password is, I suppose. He said, I thought my hand was my alarm clock, and I stayed in bed 10 minutes trying to turn it off. I don't think I'd do that one. How about this? I texted my friend saying, I can't find my phone. I can't call you right now. That's a good one. I threw my laundry in the garbage and my empty chip bag in the laundry basket. I can imagine doing that. I spent several minutes at a stop sign waiting for it to turn green. I've never done that. I don't think I ever will. If I do, I probably shouldn't be doing. Never mind. Okay, just moving right along. So why do I say that? Just that I talked last week about memory and that the Holy Spirit reminds us of things. So John wants us to understand the way the Holy Spirit works within us. Four times John uses the term paraclete. It was all from what Jesus had to say to the disciples at the Last Supper. But how did he know they were going to remember it? Well, that's what he's trying to get across. Let's take a look at John chapter 14, verse 26. And it reads as follows. When the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and he will remind you of everything I have told you. So how, decades later, maybe 30, maybe 40 years later when John is writing his gospel, how does he remember that? Well, I think you can smell what I'm cooking. It wasn't Prevagen. I don't think it was ginkgo biloba. It was the Holy Spirit who reminded him of the things that Jesus had said. I'm convinced that's how he got it. Let's take a look at John chapter 14, verse 6 in the Amplified. He says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. And then in parentheses, counselor, advocate, intercessor, counselor, strengthener, standby, to be with you forever. And it actually goes on to say something a little bit more. It says, who will never leave you. So let's take a look at these. Let's take a look at these seven words. Jesus also said that the Spirit was with them, but would be in them. And John knew the difference. He knew the difference to kind of being in the presence of God and the presence of God being within him. That's what God wants for you. And I hope if that's, you're out there today thinking, man, I'm not sure if I've got that. I pray you'd ask God and let him know that's what you do want. Okay, the seven words, helper. I like helpers. So my wife is much, much more to me than a helper, but she's a really good helper. She does things to try to make me look better. I really think she does that. So say we're having a communion service here, and during the pandemic, we've had to do it differently, but she'll just say, oh, we need a tablecloth today. And I'll just be like, oh, I would never think of a tablecloth. I never would. There's just all sorts of little things like that that she would think of that I wouldn't. I went to lunch the other day with my brother, Rick. We went to Greek islands. We like to go there. We've got the Greek theme going here. And when I went in, there was this one server. I don't know his name, but I recognize him. Even with the mask on, I recognize him. So I said hello to him and walked by. And sure enough, he was our server. And he's a good server. So when they bring the bread, they bring butter and they bring oil, but I always like some vinegar, some balsamic vinegar as well with this Greek bread. So when he brought the bread over, I didn't have to ask. He just brought the vinegar. And I was just kind of like, that's really cool. And then I love this salad they have there. It's a Greek salad. I don't get the feta on there, but I get everything else. I'm starting to dig the Greek olives. I never did before. Sure sign of old age, but DNA, whatever. And then there's grilled chicken on the top. Fantastic. But a lot of times they don't put as much dressing on there as I would like. So yesterday when he brought the salad out, he brought me extra dressing. I was just like, dude, like little things like that. Like I don't have to wait. I don't have to wait till you go back to the kitchen. Personalized. I think that's what it is. So the Holy Spirit is your helper. I mean, God Almighty comes to live within us and he's our helper. I mean, it's backwards, but it's awesome. It's personalized. He knows exactly what you need. The Holy Spirit is your helper. The second word is comforter. One of the things I think about is like a really cold night in Chicago. Maybe the furnace isn't working really well. Maybe the house is a little bit cool. How about a down comforter? Man, a down comforter, I'm not sure, you know, that's why when you see, you know, birds out there and geese and they're like, how are they staying warm? It's like, because they've got down all over them, okay? When I think of comfort, though, I know that God knows that we live in a dark world sometimes. And there are things that go wrong. And he understands that. We all experience loss. At different times, we all feel alone. At some points, many of us feel that we're forgotten. And God wants to bring us comfort by the power of his Holy Spirit right when we need it. Right when we need it. And I love what Jesus said at the Last Supper to the disciples. And this is from the Amplified. This is John chapter 14, verse 18. I will not leave you as orphans. And then it expands on that because it's the Amplified Bible. Comfortless, bereaved, helpless. I will come back to you. And I think Jesus meant, I will come back to you from the dead, but then I will come back to you with my spirit. And then Jesus went on in that passage a few verses later in 23, because they were a little confused, and he said, if anyone really loves me, he will keep my word, my teaching, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling place with him. He even says the Father and I are one. And he's already said he's sending the Spirit, so it's obvious what he's saying here is that he's going to give us his Spirit. But he won't leave us as orphans. He won't leave us helpless or hopeless. I love that. The third term is advocate. An advocate is somebody who's in your corner. Who doesn't like having an advocate? Well, sometimes it's like we don't really need one, but somebody that has our best interest in mind. You know who really is in need of an advocate? Any one of us when we're sick. Any one of us when we're in a hospital. And you know, one of the worst aspects of COVID, and I know it's obviously the worst thing is that there are people that die from COVID-19. But we all know a lot of people who were in the hospital. I have a friend that was in the hospital for over a week. Her husband could not come to see her. She often did not have the strength to pick up the phone. She thought she was dying and she didn't have an advocate. When you're laying there in a hospital bed and you're in pain and everything seems to be closing in on you, you need somebody who's not in that bed and sometimes more than one person to be an advocate. I remember when my dad was ill, I think we all were, but my brother Rick was really an advocate for my dad to make sure that he got the care, the best care possible. We need an advocate. I know somebody else, a single friend of mine, she had COVID and she was just cooped up at home for so long. It was just a horrific experience. But you know, one of the things that I think about is that the more the Holy Spirit dwells within us, the more we get his ways, the more then I think we become advocates for other people. Then we come alongside other people. Any one of these seven are qualities that the more the Holy Spirit dwells within us, the more we become that for other people. And one of the things is that we become a voice. And that's exactly the case for people who are in the hospital. But we become a voice for people who really don't have a voice. And so, yeah, I want to give a plug to Caring Network. Used to be Crisis Pregnancy Center, but Heidi and I personally financially support Caring Network. West Hills Community Church does. Why? Because they give a voice to those who have no voice. They're the advocate for the ones who really have no voice. The fourth way that paraclete can be translated is intercessor. So I had the chance this last week, for a while it wasn't working out to do it, but I FaceTimed my friends over at the Grove, this nursing home in LaGrange Park. I've been going there for over 10 years, but for over a year now I haven't been able to go, but I can FaceTime. And so I don't think Joyce would mind me mentioning her name today. And I asked, we visited for a bit, caught up, and Joanna was nice enough to go around with the tablet. It's just really a unique COVID-19 kind of thing. And then I said, how can I pray for you today? And she said, I'd like to be a better Christian. And I just said, I love that. I said, that's a prayer that Jesus so wants to answer. And I said, Joyce, would you pray that for me? I'll tell you what, I love it when people text me and say, hey, you came to mind today and I was praying for you. I don't expect that my name, Paul Glyman, comes to mind for many people when I'm not in the room. Anytime someone thinks of you in kind ways when you're not in the room, and better than that, they pray for you. That's an awesome thing. It's one of the, to me, I think it's one of the greatest expressions of love, because you're bringing a person before the throne of God and saying, God, bless this person. Do the best that you can and want to for this person. I think it's just a beautiful expression of love. Now, some of us would say, but preacher, prayer's not really my thing. You know, it's supposed to be for preachers. I don't know that preachers are better prayers than anybody else. But catch what the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verse 26. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. What weakness? Well, for example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father, who knows all hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. So sometimes, like, I don't know how to pray. The Holy Spirit is praying for you with groans that are too deep for words. Now, one of the things I think I've always kind of thought is, yeah, so, okay, Holy Spirit, teach me how to pray. And He wants to do that. But it doesn't say anywhere here that you have to ask Him to do it. He does it. When you invite Christ into your life, when you are filled with the Holy Spirit's praying for you all the time. Sometimes I'll see like something, I'll be like, God, I should have prayed for that. That's awesome what happened, but I don't remember praying. Well, no, but the Holy Spirit did. It's a Holy Spirit special from beginning to end. What a gift we have in the Holy Spirit. The fifth one is counselor. Have you ever gotten free advice? It's worth every penny, isn't it? Have you ever gotten some bad advice? I have. There are times where I have sat down with people that I think are wise, and they have said things to me, and I feel like the Aflac, you know, duck or goose or whatever it is. I'm just like, what? I'm like shaking my, I don't do that. I don't want them, but it's just like seriously, that's your best shot at advice? But you know, there are some times where I talk to people and they really make me think, and it's not necessarily a life coach or a counselor. Just somebody gives an insight on something, gives me a perspective that I didn't have before. And the Holy Spirit wants to do that for us all the time. The Holy Spirit wants to prompt thinking. So if I were to ask you today, do you think you get tempted by the dark side? Most people are like, yeah, I got this little guy on my shoulder. And he's like, why don't we go do this? Do you think that if those thoughts come, do you think there aren't promptings from the Holy Spirit? He's a counselor. He's a wonderful counselor, and He wants to give us insightful and personal counsel, not just something that's for somebody else. Because the truth of the matter is, the Holy Spirit knows your whole history. Yeah, and still hangs out with you, right? I mean, isn't that amazing? You go to a new counselor, you go, oh, okay, I got to give you 61.7 years old, all right, let me give you my backstory. You don't have to do that. The Holy Spirit, for you, knows the good, the bad, and the ugly. And He loves you. The good, the bad, and He knows your issues. Yeah? He knows your baggage. Talked about baggage last week. You know what else? There's no charge. Now, I'm not saying that it's not good to go to a counselor sometime, but don't you think some counselors have figured out that, you know, I think we haven't finished this issue yet. Do you ever think that some counselors maybe wouldn't want to get people through their issues? Why? Because they keep coming back, and then they keep paying. So you might not want. Holy Spirit's not getting anything out of it for himself. He just wants to bring wholeness and goodness and wise counsel to you. No charge. By the way, I have a lot of friends who are counselors. There's a lot of wonderful people who are counselors. But there's some bad preachers out there, and there's probably some bad counselors out there. We're going to move along to number six now. He's a strengthener. So how many of you remember Diver Dan? If you remember Diver Dan, you were probably watching Ray Rayner in the morning. I think that's when he came on. Back in the 60s, my dad got the biggest kick out of Diver Dan. I mean, he just thought it was like the goofiest thing. There's this guy that goes down to the bottom of the ocean. He's got like this metal helmet on with these bolts on there and everything. And he just walks around talking to the fish. And my dad's favorite thing was there's Betta and Barracuda. And he's got Triggerfish, who's his henchman. And he's got a cigarette hanging out of his mouth underwater. Okay, my dad got a kick out of that. But the classic line was, Triggerfish would call Baron boss. He'd go, hey boss, and Betta and Barracuda would say, how many times do I have to tell you, don't call me boss, call me Baron, you idiot. And then he goes, all right, Baron, you idiot. My dad loved that line, never got tired of that one. Why do I talk about that? Well, when they're down there in the bottom of the ocean, there's a lot of pressure, okay? I'm sure at some point you saw some movie in black and white where they drop the bathysphere down and it's just like they've got to get to the bottom and there's so much pressure and you can see like the bolts are rattling and everything and you're afraid the glass is going to break through. And then you look out there and there's just these fish out there that are just kind of like, what's the big deal, man? This is where I live. Why? Because God created them with an equal pressure and equal strength on the inside. I wish sometimes God would just take the difficulties away. I really do. But what the Holy Spirit wants to do is to give us a strength that isn't our own. Isn't our own. To be our strengthener. Those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. God wants to give us strength. The Holy Spirit is up to the task. Number seven, stand by. I like that. You know the song, I'll Stand By You by the Pretenders? If I am not mistaken, I danced to that tune with my wife on the evening of March 15th, 2008. Yeah, great song by the Pretenders. But don't we like that, that we have somebody that stands by us? Sometimes in difficult times, that's sweet. So I was at dinner just last night, and Heidi and I and a couple of young ladies that were students of mine quite a few years ago. And one of them somehow just brought up the story, and I had forgotten about it, and she refreshed my memory. I remember doing something like this with somebody else. But anyway, here's the story. So we'll call her Candace, because that's her name. And so there's this one day, one of the greatest statements of trust that when I was working with students that I would give them is when they had their permit, or they'd just gotten their driver's license, and maybe their parents didn't want them driving too much, I'd dangle my keys and say, you want to drive my car? And a lot of them would take me up on it. And then I got wiser and I didn't let them do it, or I'd just let them do it in the parking lot. So I remember, so just a couple blocks from her house, not far at all, but it was a busy intersection, it was about 5 o'clock. And we're coming up to a red light and all of a sudden the car lurches forward and then stops on a dime. And she looks at me and just says something to the effect of, I hit the wrong pedal. It's like, you didn't need to tell me that. I was very aware that you hit the wrong pedal. And then she said something that kind of made me nervous and kind of made me think maybe it was time to switch drivers. She said, I've never been in rush hour before. And I had never been in rush hour with her before either. But as God's honest truth, that same street, Main Street, Downers Grove, probably less than a year later, I'm driving along this one day and I look and I see Candace standing outside of her car. And I think there's two or three other cars. There was a multiple car accident. Nobody's really hurt or anything. But I pull up there and she's kind of like, what are you doing here? But she was very glad to see me because the husband of this one woman who had been hit, who I think was right by her house, I think she was turning in there, she was like, this guy was yelling at Candace. So she was really glad to have me just stand by her right then. Candace is not as tall as I am. I'll leave it at that. But I'd kind of forgotten this. I remember doing this for somebody else. I went to court with her, and maybe she didn't even tell her dad. Her dad's in heaven now, but I don't think she wanted to tell her dad, so I went to court with her. And I do remember, it was funny, because eventually, you know, she gets called up there. I'm standing next to her, and the judge, you know, kind of does one of these. It's like, and who are you? And I'm just like, I'm her youth pastor. And he's just kind of like, whatever. And he gets on with the proceeding. Rather humorous. But do you know, that was 30 some years ago. And Candace still remembers it. Do you know, we always remember it when someone just happens to show up at the right time and they stand by us. You know, I think as time goes by, that's such a big part of life, isn't it? Just showing up. Show up and stand by someone. So what's the one way that we experience God's, what's one way we experience God's Spirit? So I want to take a look at Romans chapter 5. I was reading something that Max had to say about this. In Romans chapter 5, verse 5, it says, "And this hope that we have in Christ will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us." Do you know that today? How dearly God loves you? "Because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love." The NIV says that he pours his love into our hearts. Not just to give away, although we can give that away, but he wants us to know today that we're loved. I mean, do you like that experience? Do you like feeling loved? God wants you to have that. He wants you to have that every day. And this passage goes on. I wasn't planning on it, but I just think it's so good. It says, "When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners." He didn't wait to see if we were going to respond. He didn't wait for us to do something good. No, pretty much when I was God's enemy, Christ died for me. It's just the love of Christ is great, and he just wants you today to know that. But God's love is more than a feeling. God's love is fierce. Why do I say that? Let's take a look at John chapter 10. And then I've got one story, and we're going to wrap up. John chapter 10, verse 27 says this. This is the passage where Jesus is saying he's the good shepherd, the great shepherd. He says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life." And that's not just pie in the sky later. Eternal life, according to John chapter 17, begins now. It's a quality of life. It's not just a duration. "I give them eternal life." And he's talking about his Spirit here. "And they will never perish. No one can snatch them away from me. For my Father has given them to me, and he is more powerful than anyone else. No one can snatch them from my Father's hand. And the Father and I are one." So there are these things online where they say the greatest mishaps in history, whatever. And so I vow that I'm not going to click on them, because all they're trying to do is get you go from one page to another, because the more clicks than the advertisers, you understand how that works. But I came across this story. It goes back to 1990. It was a flight from Birmingham, England. It was going to Malaga, Spain. And it was just after takeoff, and some of this information is coming from Nigel Olsen, who was a flight steward on this British flight, British Airways. He said it was 13 minutes after takeoff, and they'd reached 17,300 feet, 5,000 feet below what they were going to get to. But they leveled off enough that he went into the flight desk and he asked if they'd like tea. So he went in to ask the pilots if they wanted tea. And as he was stepping out with his hand on the door, there was an explosion. That he thought there was an explosion. He said, "My God, it's a bomb." What had happened was the front windshield in front of the pilot, the left side, the bolts were bad. They had taken off. They didn't put it back on right. You talk about a mishap. So that window and another window blew out. Well, you know, at 17,000 feet, it's an incredible decompression. And so the pilot flew out the window, except his feet caught under the control panel. At that point, Nigel jumped in there and grabbed a hold of his belt. And another guy grabbed a hold of him by his waist. But they also said, I read something that at that altitude, it's like the pilot, instead of weighing 200 pounds, would weigh 500 pounds. He is outside the cockpit. They're going, you know, and the plane goes into he also knocked off autopilot. So they're plummeting. They're going down at like 600K. So it was probably around 400 miles an hour. I mean, like, they're all going to die, right? And so now you've got, they tried to contact, so somebody else tried to play pilot, but they didn't have autopilot, and they couldn't contact they could, but they couldn't hear anything. Can you imagine how loud it would be in there if there's no no window in front of you. It's insane. And the temperature had to drop, you know, incredible amount of in a very short time. And so then another flight attendant came in, buckled himself into the seat. He had his seatbelt on, the pilot did, but it still sucked him right out of it. Thank God his feet caught on the bottom. So then you've got Nigel holding on to him, his belt, somebody else holding on, and then I think it was a fourth person that got into the pilot's seat, strapped themselves down, and held on. And then this poor pilot, this co-pilot, and I don't think it was a co-pilot, I think it was like a flight attendant, without being able to talk to the tower, made a perfect landing. And I just want to, just at the very end of the story, I just want to share just a couple of thoughts that came from Nigel. He said, miraculously, Captain Tim Lancaster, who had been thrown out the windshield, survived the event. They didn't know if he was alive or dead. He went into a coma. It was so cold, he went into a coma. He was bleeding. His head was hitting against, it's terrible what happened to him. The cold had put him in a temporary coma, and he didn't wake up till after the landing. He required surgery on his hand, which he broke in several places, and tending to his frostbite. You can only imagine, you talk about a wind chill factor. Ogden left the plane with a dislocated shoulder, frostbite on his face, and damage to his eye. But I like what Ogden said. He said the paramedics had Tim in the cockpit on a stretcher. He'd been in a coma. And went in to, and he said, I went in to see him. He was lying there covered in blood. But to my amazement, I heard him say, I want to eat. He said, I went out to the front steps and shouted to the others, he's alive, he said, and then I cried my eyes out. But think about what he did for that friend. It wasn't that long before that pilot went back in the air. Ogden never did. He suffered from post-traumatic shock, and he just was never going to be a flight attendant again. But think about what he did. So sometimes when I hear Jesus say, well, no one's going to snatch you out of my hand, I just kind of picture sort of this gentle thing. And then I read this story, and I thought, you know, it's with a fierceness. It's with I will give everything I have. I will hold on to you. Let Jesus, let your Heavenly Father, let the Holy Spirit grab a hold of you today. And you grab a hold of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that the world is just filled with illustrations of who you are. You created the world thus. That is the world that you intend, is that your Spirit would indwell your people, and that we would be advocates for others, that we would stand by others, that we would be strengtheners for others, even as you are for us. Help us to receive, because you don't expect us to give away anything but what we've already received from you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father, he calls me his own.
Thanks for joining us today. And as you go, just remember that the world that God intended, he wants to bring that to fruition here, within your life. He wants your inner world to be a place of peace, a place of His love. Allow Him to do that by His Spirit. And then offer yourself to God and say, God, because of what You've done for me, help me to make this world the world that You intend for it to be until kingdom come.